Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it, works seamlessly with your CarPlay. It's a great little thing to have. Podcast, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it, we're there. And smart speakers. More and more people listening to us, freeing up their devices on their smart speakers. Just ask it to play WILK News Radio. It'll play us live. Free up your devices to do other scrolling and reels to watch endlessly. How's everyone doing? It's 5:10, 56 degrees here on this Tuesday, April 21st, 2028. Thanks for sticking with us or just joining us for the last hour here where you get real news, real talk, and real perspective. The number one place for news talk radio in Northeast Pennsylvania, right here from 3 to 6 on the Rob O'Donnell Show. So a couple of things coming across my wire here. There was a brazen armed robbery in Philadelphia today. Armed with rifles, two suspects pulled off a bold $1.8 million heist on a Brinks armored truck in Philadelphia. And they escaped clean this morning so far. So they targeted a Brinks armored truck. Two individuals armed with semi-automatic rifles. A bold midday heist. $1.8 million in Philadelphia. Right in the middle of Philadelphia. And end up, at this point, gone in the wind. Also some breaking out of Pennsylvania today. The testing system used by all Pennsylvania schools for the annual PSSAs was not operable for several hours when students attempted to log in for testing today. Oh, nothing for like the best for our Pennsylvania students. Now, when you're dealing with computer systems and internet and all that thing, there could be a myriad of things that went wrong with it. So I don't know if there's been any blame placed anywhere, but obviously, the testing system for the entire Pennsylvania school system was down for hours today. So I would imagine many students couldn't take their PSSAs. So there'll be another day assigned for that. So that's some stuff coming across the wire here. Now, Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' rocket company, blasted a customer's satellite into the wrong orbit. And now the Federal Aviation Administration is looking into it, a myriad of other. Jeff Bezos' space tech company Blue Origin placed a customer's satellite in the wrong orbit on Sunday, sending the firm's stock tumbling on Monday. Shares at NASDAQ-listed AST Space Mobile fell nearly 12% in pre-market trading and were down roughly 8% from Friday's close as per midday yesterday. Blue Origin launched a Bluebird 7 satellite from its Cape Canaveral, Florida area site aboard its New Glenn rocket, but the satellite wasn't hurled high enough, according to AST Space Mobile. Bluebird 7 placed it into lower-than-planned orbit by the upper stage of the vehicle launch. The company said in a statement, while the satellite separated from the launch vehicle and powered on, the altitude was too low to sustain operations with its onboard thruster technology and will deorbit it. Deorbiting is a term of art referring to taking the satellite out of orbit and letting it burn up in the atmosphere or fall to the ground, according to NASA. Talk about the millions wasted on that. Blue Origin CEO David Limp said Monday that his company clearly didn't deliver the mission our customer wanted, and one of the rocket's engines didn't produce sufficient thrust to reach the target orbit. Blue Origin is leading the anomaly investigation with the Federal Aviation Administration oversight to learn from the data and implement the improvements needed to quickly return to flight operations. Blue Origin said the payload was placed into an off nominal orbit. We are currently assessing and will update when we have more detailed information. The company hasn't released further information. AST Space Mobile didn't respond to request for comment. The satellite would have offered space-based cellular broadband for smartphones designed for both commercial and government applications. The mishap marked an apparent blow to Bezos' ambitions to catch up to Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket business. Blue Origin has been working to ramp up flights with its New Glenn rocket and work through a backlog of flights. Now, you want to talk about repeated nightmares. Blue Origin, if you recall, they did that publicity flight with his girlfriend, Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, whatever her name Sanchez is, and a couple of singers and some other people. And basically, it never went into space. It just went into the upper atmosphere and then came back down. And there's a lot of speculation on what happened, since they were able to open the door from the inside when Jeff Bezos came with the big tool, the big T-bar to open the door, and they just swung it open from the inside, which from people who deal with that sort of thing says that that shouldn't be possible, but somehow it was. So was it a publicity stunt? I mean, with astronauts like that leading the way, we can wonder how Artemis was such a success. And then you have this now, where they send a satellite to the wrong orbit to where it now needs to deorbit and basically burn up in our atmosphere. It's interesting, too, because the Blue Origin booster, they made a big publicity of it landing on its platform ship coming back down. Texas-based AST have invited shareholders to watch the ill-fated launch live. The event had a festive atmosphere, but the mood changed when word circulated that AST satellite was placed in the improper orbit, which threatened to jeopardize the mission. It was later determined that the satellite was lost, said an analyst that was monitoring the situation. AST's ambitions of sending 45 satellites into orbit this year will be hard to achieve now. Even though shares will likely be under pressure today, the beat goes on, they said. Valuable experience of working with Blue Origin. The satellite would have been AST's eighth launched into low Earth orbit, the company said. It still expects to launch a satellite every month or two this year. While Clear Street analyst Greg Pendy said in a note published Monday that he maintains a buy rating on the stock, but he cut the year price target to $115 from $137. That's still 34% gain from Friday's close, but much less than the previously forecasted 60% jump in shares. Well, here's the thing. You had this failure, and listen, these things happen. But if you're a company that wants to put something up in space, and with this happening, are you going to take millions of dollars of your equipment and say, here, can you deliver this for us? There'll probably be second thoughts there. And the company's going to have to spend a lot to fix that damage. But it just goes to show how we're not quite there yet when it comes to that. Now, it was great to see the Artemis mission to the moon and back. And to have something like this right after that, even though this is a private entity, it's still launching into space, you know, kind of gives you a pause on how dangerous this actually is. How dangerous this actually is, and how rapidly these things are moving. Listen, they're already planning Artemis 3 and Artemis 4. So it'll be interesting. There's definitely that competition there between Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. You know, I think SpaceX has proven itself to be extremely capable. And with Blue Origin, you've had these media failures that just aren't doing well for the company. You know, are they forcing it? Listen, launching stuff into space shouldn't be forced. And what's amazing is there's basically superhighways of these satellites flying around our atmosphere. And when we launch something like a manned space flight, like the Artemis II, all that needs to be taken into consideration. You know, as it's transiting out of our atmosphere, as it's going into orbit and different levels of orbit, you know, what's coming across, what's coming, you know, it's like playing Frogger with spacecrafts, with humans on board. But the science is there where they can predict exactly where that satellite, where that space station, or where that space junk is at any given time, and we have to needle this launch through there. It's something that's highly coordinated, quite honestly. So when something like this happens where it deorbits and basically burns up and or lands somewhere in the ocean most likely, you know, it causes issues because, you know, this is not planned. It's entering other pathways and, you know, coming back to Earth. You know, hopefully for someone it gives some sort of light show in the sky, but hopefully nothing to worry about as far as debris making it. Usually with these type of things, there's not so much. But again, so close to the Artemis success, you know, you don't want to see this at all, but, you know, putting a satellite into the wrong orbit is not a good look for the Bezos mission to space. It's 5:21 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Goodfeet store located right here in Dixon City on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard. It's across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best. I've had my Goodfeet art supports in my shoes now for over 2 years. I don't go anywhere without them. You know, I was hanging out with my friends this weekend and, you know, they were laughing. They said, "Do you have your Goodfeet art supports in your shoes? Go ahead, ask him. I bet you he does." And sure enough, I did. So having a little good fun with some good friends. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we start to ease into the last half hour here. Don't worry, we got plenty to talk about. Jake's favorite coach got a new gig. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. And just looking at some things coming across, the House GOP campaign arm outraised Democrats with a record $47 million haul. Mm-hmm. The National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, raked in a record $47.1 million in the first quarter of 2026, toppling their Democrat counterparts by nearly $2 million ahead of the midterm elections. The hefty sum was a boost by the best March fundraising they've ever recorded, with $28.1 million in donations capping off the quarter for the House GOP's campaign arm. The historic fundraising quarter proves House Republicans have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm behind the agenda to lower costs and keep America safe, said NRCC Chairman Richard Hudson. He's a representative from North Carolina. House Republicans are united, battle-tested, and building a financial firepower to protect our majority and take the fight directly to Democrats' extreme agenda. The NRCC has raised a total of $164.4 million during the current cycle and has $78.2 million in cash on hand with less than 7 months to go before the midterm elections. Congressional Republicans have now outraised Democrats on average of five straight quarters, according to the NRCC. The group noted that this is the first time in a decade that has outraised House Democrat campaign arm in the first year of an election cycle. The Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, ended the first quarter with $45.3 million raised. Like the NRCC, the Democrat committee also had its best quarter of the cycle and its largest march ever with 21.5 million raised so far that month. So it was 28.1 for Republicans for March compared to 21.5 to Democrats in March. Now, the whole brings the total for the DCCC for the total of 2026 cycle at 160.6 million with 70 million cash on hand. So that's the fundraising numbers so far. I believe locally, Democrat contender Paige Cognetti slightly outraised Congressman Rob Bresnahan, but Rob Bresnahan has more money on hand that hasn't been spent yet. So I think that was the breakdown locally here, which is probably going to be one of our bigger races in the Northeast here. You'll have some statewide races as well. Make sure you're registered to vote. Check your registration. I actually got an email from the Pennsylvania Department of State telling me, make sure you check your registration with links to do so. So make sure you can do that. You can do that on your own. Just go to their website, the State Department's website of Pennsylvania, and check. Make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure your location hasn't changed. It shouldn't have. If you don't think you're going to be able to make it that election day, make sure you get your mail-in vote application in. So it's 5:30 here at WILK, 57 degrees. We'll be back after the news. Make no mistake, Jake is riled up for this one.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's 5:35, 57 degrees. So Mike Tomlin, the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What a beautiful sound that is.
Is moving on to a new gig. Sunday nights on NBC.
Way to ruin the best coverage in the sport.
So the long expected to transition to television after walking away from the Steelers, the former head coach is joining NBC to be the studio analyst for the Sunday Night Football pregame show, Football Night in America.
Yeah. So first off, the biggest thing with this whole situation with Mike Tomlin joining a broadcasting network, it hasn't really come as much of a surprise. I mean, towards the end of the Steelers season in 2025, especially after they were embarrassed Thanksgiving weekend against the Buffalo Bills at home 26-7, that's really when the calls for Tomlin to step down got really, really loud. And there were rumors. There was a rumor about him going to Fox and potentially replacing Terry Bradshaw. Everybody knows Terry Bradshaw is going to be 78 years old later this year. He's had some health issues. So there was some talk about Tomlin possibly going there 2026, if not 2027. You know, there was talk about him possibly coming back for one more year and then going into TV. Interestingly enough, Rob, the guy that he's replacing on NBC on Football Night in America was the guy that gave Mike Tomlin his first NFL job in 2001, Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, that was his final season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He hired Mike Tomlin to be their defensive backs coach because, you know, within 5 minutes of talking to him, he was in awe and knew that he had to hire him. Puke. But anyway, Tony... After Tony retired from coaching in January of 2009, he transitioned to NBC Sports, and he was with them up until their Super Bowl back in February. And in reality, Rob, I think when it comes to Mike Tomlin, I feel like this is the next step in his football life. Now, what I mean by that is, as I talked about, his first NFL job was in 2001. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was with them for five seasons as a defensive backs coach. one season with the Minnesota Vikings in 2006 as their defensive coordinator. Of course, we all know by now, Bill Cowher stepped down in January 2007. The Rooneys loved whatever BS Tomlin spewed to them in the interviews, and they hired him to be their next head coach. That's all well and good. My biggest thing is he had a habit in his 19 seasons with the Steelers. He always got the softball questions when it came to the media, and he would always ramble about popcorn plays and wavy plays and stupid sayings like that, and people seem to love them. Tomlinisms, as they call them. Again, have fun. It's a less stressful job, but don't go on there sounding like an idiot, like you were when you talked to the media for the past 19 years. I mean, you're there to have fun. You're there to obviously analyze things. Obviously, a viewer like myself, or pretty much anyone for that matter, you want to learn something. You want to learn something. You don't want some stupid expression that makes no sense whatsoever. That's my biggest thing with Tomlin going into TV. Now, as far as his future, I will say this. I feel like Rondé Barber, who was with him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 15, 16 years. Rondé said that when he talked to Mike Tomlin not too long after he stepped down with the Steelers, that he sounded like a guy that is just done with coaching. And honestly, even coming from one of his biggest critics, I honestly can't blame him because, again, I look at his predecessor and I look at Bill Cowher. You know, Mike would always say the standard is the standard. Well, for me growing up, the standard was and still is Bill Cowher when it comes to Steelers football. Bill, he stepped down in January 2007. Obviously, he was just mentally and emotionally burnt out. He had won a Super Bowl. His wife was going through some health issues at the time, sadly. Bill went to CBS. This will be his 20th season with CBS, and he said that he enjoys it more than he ever did when he was coaching because it's not that constant strain. It's not that constant 7-7 every single day trying to come up with a game plan, trying to, you know, obviously you're the head honcho when you're the head coach. So Bill said, obviously, going and doing the production meetings on Saturdays, then, you know, going in on Sunday and just BSing with the guys about football for a couple hours on the air. He said that's what makes it fun. And I feel like Mike Tomlin will have a lot more fun with this, obviously talking about the game that he loves compared to having to plan and prepare and stress yourself out. So honestly, I feel like he probably could fall into the same path as Bill Cowher, as Chuck Knoll, obviously Bill's predecessor did. Once they were done being the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they never dipped their toes back into coaching whatsoever. I mean, Chuck straight up retired. But with Bill, you had so many rumors over the years. Oh, he's going to go to the Carolina Panthers. He's going to go to the Jets. He's going to go to the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't doubt that, you know, next year, after the 2026 regular season is over, that there might be a rumor or two that this team is interested in Mike Tomlin or that team is. But I think in a lot of ways, I think that he'll enjoy it so much and he'll just, again, be so glad that the stress is over that I could see him potentially doing this for a long time to come. Jason Garrett is another example, talking about Football Night in America. When Jerry Jones decided to go his separate ways with Jason Garrett in January of 2020, Jason did spend one more year as offensive coordinator in the New York Giants. Obviously, he wasn't able to attain that same success that he did with the Dallas Cowboys. He went into TV, and he's enjoyed it ever since then. He's called a few games on NBC and on Peacock over the past couple of years. So overall, I mean, I think it's a smart move for his future.
Some of the blogs and some of the chatter I've seen also opens the door. Does Tomlin going to Sunday nights on NBC open the door for Aaron Rodgers to do the same as well?
You know, well, it is ironic because, and again, here we are once again, Art Rooney and Mike McCarthy earlier today, they were talking about how You know, they have an understanding of his timeline, but once again, they're going to, you know, they're basically going to coddle him and give him all the time that he wants. I really don't know if Aaron, I don't know if he would be a good fit for TV, but there is one Steeler in particular that was on NBC's pregame coverage in Super Bowl 60 back in February, and obviously probably the biggest Mike Tomlin supporter that there has been. He's still with the team, Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward is going into his 16th season with the team. I'm really surprised that he's doing this season without Tomlin. But when Cam was on the pregame show back in February, he seemed like a natural. He seemed like a good fit on TV. So I don't know if maybe he'll do this year and then hang it up and then be a part of NBC. I mean, there's a good possibility of that. My biggest thing with NBC is they just got to get Chris Collinsworth out of the booth. They've got to get Chris Collinsworth out of the booth because, I mean, his voice is just so annoying. You know, now here's a guy. And when you see a spectacular play on Sunday Night Football, he's always trying to find a way to tie Patrick Mahomes into it, even if they aren't on Sunday Night Football. So, yeah. Yeah, I can't stand Chris Collinsworth.
All right, well, I guess we'll see. Do we know when he's supposed to have his debut on?
Oh, Tomlin?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think here. Well, so NBC, NBC, do they have the Hall of Fame game? No, I think ESPN has the Hall of Fame game.
Does NBC do anything for the draft? Because I could see them filtering him in to do their...
It's mainly ESPN and NFL Network, and I was going to say ESPN is basically taking over NFL Network. So your coverage Thursday, Friday, Saturday is going to be NFL Network, ESPN, and ABC. So week one with the National Football League, as I talked about, it's actually different this year because the NFL kickoff game with the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, that's Wednesday, September 9th. Because you have the Melbourne game with the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. So more than likely, I would say Wednesday, September 9th will probably be Mike Tomlin's debut on NBC. And then, of course, week one, Sunday Night Football, that will be September 13th. So those will be the first two times that you're going to see him on air.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see there. And I'm sure you'll give us the honest critique.
You know what?
From his biggest fan.
You know what? Hey,
at that point,
when you said former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that was music to my ears.
That's how you have to look at it,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
You know, regardless of how ridiculous he sounds on Sunday nights, he's not coaching your Steelers.
Thank God.
So we'll leave it there. Thank you, Jake. Before we go to break, let me tell you about our friends over at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, that Mitsubishi electric heat pump system I have, that is the gold standard of those ductless split air systems. It's working phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I had it on this morning. It was frost outside, cold. I didn't want to fire up the propane fireplace. So I just switched on my Monk electric heat pump system. Within a few minutes, the house was comfortable, and that was that. 24/7, 365-day-a-year service, Cool Club maintenance plans, water heaters same day. They are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors. They're also trained premier comfort specialists if you want to get more of a central system. They do it all there. If you need heating and air conditioning needs, these are the guys you go to. That veteran and first responder discount on new installations. Talk to them about it. Have them come in. Have them look at the systems you have. See how they can add an addition to save you money in the long run, or upgrade your system to a more high energy efficient, also saving you money in the long run. My Mitsubishi electric heat pump system is going to pay itself off in just a couple of years, saving between 13 and 17% each month on my electric bill during the coldest winter in 30 years. So I'm looking forward to it. Check them out at monkhvac.com. That's monkhvac.com, and see how they can help your heating and air conditioning needs. Told you guys, rile Jake up. Can't bring up the MT words. Welcome back as we start to wind down the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Hey, tomorrow's Wednesday. It's all downhill from there, so it's all good. Listen, we talked about this Iranian spy who was doing weapons deal while living in California. Now we come all the way to the other side of the nation. Chinese national arrested at JFK after allegedly photographing U.S. military aircraft at a Nebraska base. Mm-hmm. Seems to be happening far too much. Chinese national was arrested at New York's JFK International Airport after federal authorities say he photographed sensitive military aircraft in an Air Force base in Nebraska and planned to target another installation as he had prepared to leave the country. And this 21-year-old Chinese national is accused of violating federal law that restricts photographing defense installations without authorization, according to court documents filed in the Eastern District of New York. Authorities say Lang was taken into custody April 7th while attempting to board an international flight just days after a warrant was issued in Nebraska. The case centers around activity near Offutt Air Force Base, home of the U.S. Strategic Command, one of the Pentagon's most sensitive installations. According to an FBI affidavit, investigators were alerted after witness reported seeing a male holding a camera with a telescopic lens near the base where aircraft are stationed on the flight line. Offutt hosts high-value reconnaissance and command aircraft, including the RC-135 surveillance plane and the E-4B Night Watch, often referred to as the military's doomsday plane. Federal agents say Lang later admitted to photographing several aircraft at the base, including the RC-135 and E-4B. Lang told investigators he used a plane spotter website to identify photography locations and said the images were for his personal collection, according to the affidavit. Authorities allege he knowingly photographed restricted military assets without permission. He knew it was illegal to take pictures of the planes on the ground, the affidavit states. Investigators said subsequent review of camera revealed numerous photographs of planes located at the OAFB flight line, including images of military aircraft parked on the base. Lang was a student at Glasgow University in Scotland, according to investigators, and had recently traveled through Canada before entering the U.S. So here we have a Chinese national who's going to school in Glasgow, Scotland, travels through Canada to get into the U.S. Authorities say Lang entered the United States via Canada, was later found near Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Investigators allege he planned to travel to Oklahoma to photograph additional aircraft at Tinker Air Force Base, including the E-4B. Investigators said Lang specifically sought out locations where he could view and photograph aircraft from outside military installations. The law prohibits photographing military installations without approval from the base commander, prosecutors say. Probable cause to believe Lang photographed Air Force without approval. Affidavit does not allege Lang was acting on behalf of any foreign government. Pretty suspicious, though, as long as he's on radar. But again, this is an issue as someone who, you know, spends quite a time on military installations, some of them with things you're not supposed to take pictures of. There are signs everywhere. No photograph permitted in this areas. Now, they don't restrict you from having cameras. But, you know, when I was just down in Key West for our 30th anniversary, we were right near the Navy base in Key West. And there's a part of the state park, the fort that's there, that borders the Navy base. And it's where they dock submarines. And there's pictures in the state park that says you are not authorized to take pictures in this direction without specific permission from the base commander. And there are people watching. Make no mistake, there are. So respect that and know about it. There are certain areas, most that you read it and just kind of get a chuckle out of it, but there are some areas where it says deadly force authorized beyond this point. Yeah, that's not a suggestion, just saying. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Told you guys, rile Jake up. Can't bring up the MT words. Welcome back as we start to wind down the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Hey, tomorrow's Wednesday. It's all downhill from there, so it's all good. Listen, we talked about this Iranian spy who was doing weapons deal while living in California. Now we come all the way to the other side of the nation. Chinese national arrested at JFK after allegedly photographing U.S. military aircraft in Nebraska at a Nebraska base. Mm-hmm. Seems to be happening far too much. Chinese national was arrested at New York's JFK International Airport after federal authorities say he photographed sensitive military aircraft in an Air Force base in Nebraska and planned to target another installation as he had prepared to leave the country. And this 21-year-old Chinese national is accused of violating federal law that restricts photographing defense installations without authorization, according to court documents filed in the Eastern District of New York. Authorities say Lang was taken into custody April 7th while attempting to board an international flight just days after a warrant was issued in Nebraska. The case centers around activity near Offutt Air Force Base, home of the U.S. Strategic Command, one of the Pentagon's most sensitive installations. According to an FBI affidavit, investigators were alerted after witness reported seeing a male holding a camera with a telescopic lens near the base where aircraft are stationed on the flight line. Offutt hosts high-value reconnaissance and command aircraft, including the RC-135 surveillance plane and the E-4B Night Watch, often referred to as the military's doomsday plane. Federal agents say Lang later admitted to photographing several aircraft at the base, including the RC-135 and E-4B. Lang told investigators he used a plane spotter website to identify photography locations and said the images were for his personal collection, according to the affidavit. Authorities allege he knowingly photographed restricted military assets without permission. He knew it was illegal to take pictures of the planes on the ground, the affidavit states. Investigators said subsequent review of camera revealed numerous photographs of planes located at the OAFB flight line, including images of military aircraft parked on the base. Lang was a student at Glasgow University in Scotland, according to investigators, and had recently traveled through Canada before entering the U.S. So here we have a Chinese national who's going to school in Glasgow, Scotland, travels through Canada to get into the U.S. Authorities say Lang entered the United States via Canada and was later found near Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Investigators allege he planned to travel to Oklahoma to photograph additional aircraft at Tinker Air Force Base, including the E-4B. Investigators said Lang specifically sought out locations where he could view and photograph aircraft from outside military installations. The law prohibits photographing military installations without approval from the base commander, prosecutors say. Probable cause to believe Lang photographed Air Force without approval. Affidavit does not allege Lang was acting on behalf of any foreign government. Pretty suspicious, though, as long as he's on radar. But again, this is an issue as someone who, you know, spends quite a time on military installations, some of them with things you're not supposed to take pictures of. There are signs everywhere. No photograph permitted in this area. Now, they don't restrict you from having cameras. But, you know, when I was just down in Key West for our 30th anniversary, we were right near the Navy base in Key West. And there's a part of the state park, the fort that's there, that borders the Navy base. And it's where they dock submarines. And there's pictures in the state park that says you are not authorized to take pictures in this direction without specific permission from the base commander. And there are people watching. Make no mistake, there are. So respect that and know about it. There are certain areas, most that you read it and just kind of get a chuckle out of it, but there are some areas where it says deadly force authorized beyond this point. Yeah, that's not a suggestion, just saying. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Well, that's it for it's today here on the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Each day, you know, tomorrow's going to start off a little rough, but it's going to be nice. And then Thursday's going to be even nicer. Friday, not bad, but occasional rain and then rain and drizzle on Saturday. Hopefully that changes, but 72 on Thursday. So enjoy. Thank you for sticking with us for the 3 hours or part of thereof. We always appreciate the support we get from our listeners, and we strive each and every day to give you what you come here to seek, a little knowledge, a little perspective, a little discussion, maybe a couple laughs here and there, and to get angry at Mike Tomlin, because that's one of our goals on a daily basis. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.